Breeze 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning, the first of the new year. We're going to kick off this year solo. We are in the studio this morning solo. We have a lot of great shows planned for this year. We're going to tackle local and national issues and place a major emphasis on the issues impacting poor and working class families. We're living in some really tough times, folks. And for me and so many others that keep a close watch on the political machinations taking place in Washington, D.C., poor people are getting the short shrift of absolutely everything. So we're going to really concentrate on these important issues, especially as it relates to efforts to address the deep poverty impacting millions of Americans. Of course, with the midterm elections fast approaching, we're going to address some of the political drama that will impact our nation and, of course, the city of Charlotte. This morning, though, the long-term unemployed and how they are faring in this economy and the barrage of attacks on people who are finding it difficult to find employment. All of this and more here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
The president just said that unemployment benefits actually create new jobs. Now stop and think about that for a second. Unemployment benefits create new jobs. What is unemployment insurance? It is paying people not to work. And that, let's change the term. Let's get rid of unemployment insurance and let's call it paying people not to work.
I've grown increasingly frustrated, folks, with the persistent attack on poor and working class families. And I'm sure many of you have lots of concerns about that, particularly when we watch some of the nonsense coming from some of the ideologues on the right. I'm particularly annoyed at how folks who are at this point at the lowest point in their lives, they're drawing unemployment. They're being treated absolutely atrocious. Their character is being besmirched. They are being harangued by a political party for unsuccessful attempts to find employment. The Republicans are constantly harping on the idea of deficits when it comes to borrowing money from China to help poor middle-class families, but won't say a word about those deficits when it comes to subsidies for big business. They don't say a word about subsidies when we're talking about corporate welfare. And it's as if these folks who are on unemployment can force businesses to hire them. It's as if these folks can stroll into human resources, demand the HR exec to look at their resume and demand an interview. That's simply not the case. And this makes you wonder if any of these Republican politicians ever had the indignity of not having their telephone calls or job inquiries returned. I know what that is like. I know what it's like to send out resume after resume and still more resumes to dozens upon dozens of jobs. I know what that is like, and I'm sure many of you understand that dilemma. Sending out these job resumes only to learn that no one hasn't even opened the envelope. That is the experience of many of the folks who are on unemployment today. Then they come to learn that your resume or your job application was trashed. All of the efforts, putting on the suit in the morning. Yeah, you go through that whole process of getting out of bed. You know, you really don't feel like it, but you know you have bills to pay. You know you have mouths to feed. So you get out of the bed in the morning, shower, brush your teeth, get dressed, put on a nice, really nice suit, armed with your resume, armed with all the information that's required to get a job. Submit the resumes because, you know, you're pounding the pavement or you're making those cold calls, whatever the case may be. And then you find out that your resume or your application has been trashed. Do you know what that is like? Day after day, week after week, month after month, and in some cases, year after year. It has a major impact on your psyche. This is not a joke, folks. And Rush Limbaugh and his ilk, they can laugh and they can make fun and they can castigate individuals who are struggling. But I'm telling you that this problem is real. I know what it's like to send out resumes after resume. I know what it's like. I know, as I'm sure many of you do, what it's like to call the company and or companies you hope to be employed by, only to be told that they are not hiring for the position that they just posted days ago. I know what that's like. I'm familiar with, as many of you are, with filling out a bunch of online applications only to be instructed not to call. Not to do follow-up calls. When I was in high school and when I graduated high school, when I was in college, all those things, we were told that when you send out a job resume, you fill out an application, you are to do follow-up calls. And so now you have a situation where folks who are going online to fill out applications, they are being instructed not to do follow-up calls. This is an old job hunting technique that, to me at this point, and to so many other Americans, it's not valued anymore. This is what is going on, folks. And the indignity now of having to fill out psychological assessments for jobs like Walmart or other retail stores, companies that are barely paying people above the minimum wage. And they're doing psychosocial assessments on individuals who are simply trying to find a job. It is hard out there. It is hard for folks. You got people like Rush Limbaugh and the Republicans and many of these vile, despicable people that have been lobbying these verbal attacks on long-term unemployed folks. They have absolutely no shame. None. And I want folks to understand they are not intimately familiar with the struggles that many of you who perhaps are listening to this show right now, you know what it's like. You know how hard it is out there. And then you add to the mix the overt racist bigotry that is being spouted by some of the most vilest people who happen to be elected officials, or some of them are talking heads, making fun of African Americans and their attempts to find unemployment, making disparaging remarks about African Americans and tying African Americans, particularly African American youth, to unemployment, as if there are no white folks in this country trying to find a job. There are no white folks in this country who are between the ages of 17 and 21 who are trying to find a job. This is not exclusive to African Americans. Folks in the rural areas of our country who are lily white are having a difficult time. Folks who are in the Appalachians all over the country who happen to have skin color that is of a lighter hue than mine are struggling just like everybody else. So to make this a race issue is beyond despicable. And it's a shame. It's absolutely a shame. There are 1.3 million long-term unemployed people in our country today. For one reason or the other, finding employment has been a significant challenge. And please understand, for folks who argue about deficits, For every dollar that is given or provided to those folks who are on unemployment, when they spend that dollar, another dollar and 73 cents is added to the economy because it's a result of their spending, giving employees, by the way, the opportunity to hire based on consumer need and consumer spending. So there is a return on unemployment. These folks are not sitting home watching television. I know for myself what it's like having the indignity of a check coming in and it's not enough to pay the bills. There's no one that I know that prefer to be on unemployment. Maybe a few people. But is this indicative of the 1.3 million Americans who are relegated to long-term unemployment? No. Absolutely not. And I know, because I hear the argument all the time that they, you know, you got folks who are sitting around. Yeah, they might be abusing the system, just as you have CEOs misappropriating funds or engaging in corporate malfeasance, driving companies into the ground with taxpayer subsidies, I might add. They are also abusing the system. Taxpayers are funding the kinds of malfeasance that takes place in corporate America. So if you're going to have one argument on one side, you have to articulate the argument on the other. It's not to excuse the behavior, by the way. I am just saying we need to have parity when we have this discussion. Are there people abusing the system? Absolutely. And we need to call them to the carpet on that. But don't suggest that a person who may have been on unemployment for quite some time, that they might be abusing the system because of some idiot on the... No! You got people who are going to abuse the system, whether it's corporate welfare or whether it is unemployment. There is a small minority, a fragment, a slither of the population of that particular constituency that might be abusing the system. But don't put that on everybody, because that simply isn't the case. It is not massive. It is not a nationwide epidemic. Of course it isn't. And we know that. Now, the private sector has hired more than 7 million people since President Obama took office. In the last 2 months, private sector hiring has topped the 200,000 mark. There is hiring in both private industry and government. So things are indeed turning around. Our economy, folks, are on the upswing. Wall Street is doing well. American corporations are still sitting on trillions of dollars in profits. Companies are now investing, and they are also re-educating the workforce. So things are turning around for us nationally. Locally, with the election of Pat Cannon as mayor here in the Queen City, there's efforts to bring more jobs, establish a better relationship with Raleigh to foster more investment and job growth. Investment in our infrastructure and to shore up our anchor businesses is taking place. And with the Panthers finally dominating on the field, the newly named Hornets are showing encouraging signs on the courts, and the CIAA is coming to town. So Charlotte appears to be on the brink of doing some really great things in 2014. But we have to be honest here. It's going to take work. It's not an easy haul, because right now unemployment in Charlotte, I remember a couple of years ago, it was about 11%. It has dropped to 6.7%. And although the jobs growth numbers are at 74,000-75,000 for the month of December, we are still turning the ship around. Things are turning around. The economy, experts continue to say that we are on the upswing, albeit slow. And like I said, just a couple of years ago, I remember arguing with my conservative radio show host friend, my rival, Henry Hollingshead, at another radio station a few years ago. We were talking about this very issue, how unemployment was hovering around 11%. And now things are turning around. Remember those arguments, because there was such doom and gloom in the forecast. Republicans, when President Obama took office, you would have thought the world was actually going to end. That was the was the climate in this country. It was amazing to me. And as I said then, as is the case now, we are emerging from the economic doldrums caused by the Bush administration. This was going to be a tough haul, folks. And I knew it. Republicans in their heart knew it. Because what we saw was political machinations from the GOP and from right-wing conservatives. We were losing 750,000 jobs during the first 6 months of the first Obama administration. But 5 years later, folks, we've but almost recouped all of those private sector jobs. National unemployment dropped from 9% to 7%. And job growth has been steady, albeit slow, throughout President Obama's term in office. But things, folks, are still hard for so many Americans. And what galls me, what stirs my ire, what has me screaming at the television is this persistence by the Republicans, particularly conservatives, to stymie success by the president. They've blocked job bills that would have helped millions of people to get employed. They've blocked efforts to work on our nation's infrastructure, including roads, bridges, and sewer systems. They've been incessantly focused on derailing the Affordable Care Act, which is on track, folks, to provide millions of Americans access to affordable health care, thus reducing the burden on taxpayers who have been footing the bill to care for people who didn't have health insurance. And we've seen over the course of several months how there was a concerted effort to stop, to derail, to do anything to stop the full implementation of the Affordable Care Act, derisively known as Obamacare. They did everything to stop it, but it hasn't worked. And folks, their efforts to address poverty, in my judgment, is nothing more than political expediency. Because now that's all we're hearing. They want, you hear Paul Ryan talking about how to eliminate poverty. It is political expediency. It's nothing from the heart. This is about 2014. This is about 2014 in the midterms. That's what this is about. So now we're hearing them talk about poverty. Finally. But it, again, is about political expedience. And I don't want you folks to be fooled by their rhetoric about addressing poverty in this country. They have been averse to addressing this issue for decades. There's no sincerity in their rhetoric. This, again, folks, is a 2014 midterm election stunt to hold power in the House. That's all this is about. Because, interestingly, they work tirelessly to cut food stamps despite its minimal impact on our budget deficits, impacting millions of Americans who are going hungry every single night. And I want you to understand, it's not as if these folks were living high on the hog. Their monthly stipend was on average $250 a month, hardly enough to buy enough food to last a month. That's their reality, folks. And several months ago, I did an entire show on the issue of food stamps. And I remember then that Tennessee Republican Steve Fincher said, in effect, that if you don't work, you don't eat. He was defending efforts to cut food stamps, citing a drain on our deficit. This was coming from a hypocrite who was receiving $3.5 million in government subsidies from the government, folks. That's what we are dealing with. That is the kind of hypocrisy that is so pronounced by these people. Now, I read an article, interestingly, from the Huffington Post just this week. Let me quote, quote, food stamp spending has more than doubled since 2007, thanks to mostly a bad economy that has made more Americans than ever eligible for help. Currently, 47 million receive monthly benefits. Republicans want to cut the program by about 5%, which would result in nearly 4 million fewer beneficiaries next year. Coincidentally, almost the same number of food stamp recipients are lifted from poverty by the program, though the effect of food stamp benefits is omitted from the official poverty estimate. So, folks, people are going to go hungry. and the feigned outrage by some Republicans that folks are buying exotic foods like crab legs that they simply can't afford is anecdotal at best. There's no widespread abuse of the system. And so now, if you couple efforts to cut food stamps with their continuing efforts, yet their failed efforts to derail the full implementation of the Affordable Care Act, Republican governors in a host of states right now, including North Carolina, refuse to expand Medicaid for millions of Americans, despite the fact that the federal government is going to foot the bill. So you're talking about millions of Americans who will not have access to Medicaid, health care, because of the political agenda of the Republican Party. That's what we're seeing here. It's amazing to me that most of you who are listening to this program, I know that you've been hearing these discussions for quite some time, and I want to encourage you to pay deeper attention to what we are dealing with, because maybe you are not suffering. Maybe, you know, by God's grace, you are enjoying life and you are not having to concern yourself with feeding your family. Your job situation is fine and you have health care. But there are people who are really suffering out here, folks. And I am telling you, the political expediency of the Republican Party is literally all about the 2014 midterm election. Believing that these folks care for the poor is like believing the earth is flat. Their feigned sincerity is, in my judgment, as real as an Easter bunny delivering painted eggs and chocolate candy to my doorstep. I actually had to write that one down. I was thinking about it. I was preparing for the show. I said, I needed something clever to say. And that came to mind, by the way. But folks, I will bet you my last dollar that after the midterm elections, you will not hear one Republican utter a word about poverty. Nothing coming from their mouths after the midterm elections. I guarantee you, because what we're hearing right now is nothing but a trick. It's nothing but a ploy. That's all it is. It's a gimmick. There's nothing real about what they are proposing. There's nothing real about their rhetoric. It's nothing real about their sincerity, but I digress. As I said from the outset, it's disturbing to see these characters attack poor and working class families and those people that are in the unfortunate position to be unemployed. It's an unenviable position, people. It's a drain on morale. It's a drain on your integrity. It saps your spirit. It saps your dignity, especially if it's long term. And as a man, it impacts your health, your emotional well-being. It impacts your spirit in such a way. It actually crushes your spirit in many ways. Religious cliches don't work. I'm telling you that. And sometimes it's even hard to face your family, to face your friends, your loved ones, those folks. You know, if a few years ago you were doing well, you had a nice home, nice car and all those kinds of things, the economy tanked and you suddenly found yourself on unemployment, it is a drain on that spirit. And now folks are seeing you, perhaps you know, you are asking for charity, asking for assistance. It does something to your spirit. It hurts, folks. If you're listening to my show and you can identify this, you can identify with this. It hurts. It hurts deep down inside. It hurts because I've been there. I know what it's like to ask for help. I also know what it's like when you have to get up and you have to keep moving and you have to keep going. I know what it's like. I know when you're feeling depressed and your morale has taken a significant beating and your children, they want things and it's hard. It's hard. And so for many people who are dealing with this, when they hear idiots like Rush Limbaugh and so many others who get paid millions of dollars on the radio and on television to stir up division and hatred in this country. You know, for anyone to believe that being on unemployment is fun, they are not only idiots, they are the village idiot. I had to write that one down, too. Because think about it, with an economy that is recovering, albeit a slow pace, we should not allow the character and dignity of people who are simply trying to survive be besmirched and belittled by people who are literally making millions of dollars to talk on the radio or talk on television. They sit behind their desks with these $1,000 suits and they can spout off all kinds of things to divide people in this country and scapegoat one group over the other. That is what is happening here. And they make millions of dollars and go back to their multi-million dollar home. And I want it, in case you are a conservative Republican, happen to be driving down 85 or 77 or anywhere in this city in the listening area, and you are struggling yourself, but you have someone whispering in your ear like Rush Limbaugh, rousing that hatred that you have for somebody else who you think might be taking advantage of the situation, I would ask you to take a deeper, much harder look at Rush Limbaugh and how he sits behind a golden microphone in a comfortable studio. And at the end of the day, after he riled you up and stirred your ire, he goes back home to his multi-million dollar home and he doesn't have a care in the world while you are seething with hatred toward your fellow American. That is what is going on in this country. And I am telling you, Republican, as a country, we ought to be exhausting every avenue to not only provide immediate assistance to the folks who are on unemployment, but consider long-term strategies as education, such as re-education of the workforce, both in private sector and the government, building our roads, bridges, and tunnels, and the all-encompassing American infrastructure. And we should be encouraging American corporations to reinvest in America, in American jobs, instead of shipping those jobs overseas for profit. That's what we should be doing. America first. We love the world and we do what's right by the world. But we should be asking our corporations to invest in our workers here in the United States. If we have to reduce their taxes, well, let's find a way to do that so that they can reinvest their money into our infrastructure and into the working families of this country. That's what we should be doing. And that's what I would encourage all of us to consider. My rant is over. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to thank you for tuning in this week. I want to also strongly urge you to pay close attention to what is taking place in our nation's capital, especially as it relates to the extension in unemployment benefits, as well as their efforts to tackle poverty in this country. It is absolutely critical that we pay close attention to these issues, as well as participate in efforts to make sure our elected officials are doing exactly what we sent them to Washington to do, and that is to work on behalf of the American people. As I indicated, we got some great content coming up, and I want to urge you to continue tuning in to Community Voices. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.